The U.S. imposes a ban on Russian oil imports while its allies in Europe lay out a plan to reduce their dependency on Russian energy sources. Fuel prices in the Philippines could hit 100 pesos per liter in the coming days. A poll watchdog questions the qualifications of two new appointees at the Commission on Elections. And on In Focus today, we'll speak with Vice Presidential Aspirant Rizalito David. Hi, I'm Camino Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us, and for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. The West expanding its economic warfare against Russia. U.S. President Joe Biden announced a ban on Russian oil imports, but warned it will come at a cost for consumers. Here's the full story.
We're banning all imports of Russian oil and gas and energy. That means Russian oil will no longer be acceptable at U.S. ports, and the American people will deal another powerful blow to Putin's war machine.
In one of the most powerful and unprecedented moves yet to punish Russia, U.S. President Joe Biden Tuesday announced a ban on Russian oil and other energy imports in retaliation for the invasion of Ukraine. But Biden warned it will come at a cost for American drivers already suffering sticker shock at the pump.
Since Putin began his military buildup on Ukrainian borders, just since then, the price of the gas at the pump in America went up 75 cents. And with this action, it's going to go up further.
Shortly before Biden's remarks, Britain said it would also phase out the import of Russian oil and oil products by the end of 2022, giving businesses time to find alternative sources of supply. Prime Minister Boris Johnson.
And we will employ every method that we can. Diplomatic, humanitarian, and economic, Mr. Speaker, until Vladimir Putin has failed in this disastrous venture and Ukraine is free once more.
Yeah. Russia is the world's top exporter of more than 7 million barrels per day of crude oil and petroleum products.
We will not be part of subsidizing Putin's war.
Biden acknowledged that many other European partners who are far more dependent on Russian oil can't follow the United States' lead, though he said the U.S. ban came after close consultation with international partners, and it has strong bipartisan support in Washington. Republican lawmakers like Senator Marco Rubio took to social media to welcome the decision and called for the administration to support more oil and gas production at home. Biden said sanctions imposed by the United States and its allies had already caused the Russian economy to crater. And in yet another gut punch Tuesday, energy giant Shell said it will stop buying oil from Russia and cut links to the country entirely, joining rivals BP and ExxonMobil, which have also announced plans to sell holdings in Russia and exit the country. Oil prices jumped Tuesday to nearly $130 a barrel. J.P. Morgan predicts oil could hit a record $185 a barrel by the end of 2022 if disruption to Russian exports lasts that long.
Meanwhile, the European Commission unveils plans to reduce the EU's dependency on Russian energy sources amid the Ukraine war. The bloc's executive arm aims to cut gas imports from Moscow by two-thirds this year and end its reliance on Russian fuel supplies well before year 2030. The move comes after Russia openly threatened to halt gas supplies to Europe as Western sanctions pile up.
By the end of this year, we can replace 100 BCM of gas imports from Russia. That is two-thirds of what we import from them. This will end our over-dependency and give us much-needed room to maneuver. Two-thirds by the end of this year. It's hard, bloody hard, but it's possible if we're willing to go further and faster than we've done before. It is something we need to do because now it's also intimately linked to our security.
At home, pump prices may reach 100 pesos per liter next week as the war in Ukraine continues to push global prices higher. Imported diesel rose by more than 12 pesos per liter in the first day of trading this week, while gasoline increased by more than 8 pesos per liter. Philippine lawmakers are calling on President Duterte to declare a state of economic emergency as pump prices soar. But Energy Secretary Alfonso Cusi rejects that plea.
I don't think it is necessary at this point. No, even when you declare an economic emergency, what do you do during the economic emergency? Diba? Ganun pa rin eh, what we're doing. Hindi pa rin. So I wouldn't say that it's necessary at this point.
For the year, there's been a 17 peso jump for diesel prices, over 13 pesos for gasoline, and 14 pesos for kerosene. Government has increased the aid for sectors most affected by rising fuel prices, but nothing has been released so far. Vice presidential bet, Senate President Vicente Soto III questions the move of oil companies to raise pump prices immediately. Soto says pump prices shouldn't have been immediately raised since oil firms are still selling their reserves. House lawmaker Joey Salceda, meanwhile, believes oil companies are not solely to blame. He says burden sharing will be crucial in addressing the problem. Salceda is calling on government to suspend the excise tax on oil, which he says will cushion the impact of soaring pump prices.
The inflation by June can go as high as 5.2% from the current 3.3% or 3.3%. So definitely we're looking at a higher band for inflation rate. And that will have disruptive effects, both in the distribution of incomes, at the same time in our GDP prospects. Right now, what we need is a social compact, because this is an external shock. External price shock, and therefore how do you distribute the pain is very critical if you want to maintain that there will be no what you can call an inflation spiral.
Concerns of credibility and impartiality raised over President Rodrigo Duterte's newly appointed election commissioners. Poll watchdog Contradaya is challenging new COMELEC chairman Saidamin Pangarungan, as well as new commissioners Amy Torrefranca Neri and George Garcia, to prove their ability to manage the May elections. The group points out, except for Garcia, the other appointees have no experience with election law. The COMELEC spokesperson, however, appeals to the public to give the new officials a chance.
Alam mo, hindi pa sila pinapangalanan. Alam na natin na babatukusin yung bagong appoint. Simply because ang nag-appoint sa kanila ay ang Pangulo natin, si Pangulong Duterte. Diba? That has been a sore spot for many people for the longest time. The anticipation that all commissioners would be appointed by one person. And as always, ang sasabihin natin is we have to give each individual commissioner the opportunity to prove themselves impartial and neutral in the exercise of their duties.
The poll watchdog is also looking for assurance the new COMELEC officials will be independent. As a veteran election lawyer, Commissioner Garcia had many politicians as clients. Among them, presidential candidate Ferdinand Marcos Jr. on his poll protest for the 2016 vice presidential race. But Garcia guarantees he will discharge his functions with strict adherence to ethical standards.
Ngayon, but I will be revisiting all the cases that I handle. And number two, kapag may mga kaso rin na talagay ko kahit na hindi ko rin na-handle ngayon, eh, pero dahil na naging clients ko before o nagkaroon ako ng relationship before in a professional capacity, I'm going to take an open.
Let's get an update now from the campaign trail. Presidential candidate Panfilo Lacson and his running mate, Senate President Tito Soto, pay a courtesy call on Soto's nephew, Pasig Mayor Vico Soto. Willard Chang now joins us with more details. Willard, over to you.
Hi, Casey. Senator Ping Lacson and Senate President Tito Soto have just visited Pasig City Mayor Vico Soto in the City Hall for a courtesy call ahead of the tandem's campaign activities in the city. TV host and Mayor Vigo's father, Vic Soto, and senatorial candidate Gringo Nason were also present. There was no endorsement of the Lacson-Soto tandem from Mayor Vico, as the mayor had previously said he would stay away from national politics. Mayor Vico happens to be with Acción Democrático, the party of another presidential candidate, Mayor Isko Moreno Domagoso, and his running mate, Dr. Willy Ong. Vic Soto told reporters after the meeting that nothing political was discussed and stories were merely exchanged during the meeting that lasted for an hour. The courtesy call and the tandem's visit to Pasig came a day after Senate President Tito Soto was formally endorsed by Quezon City Mayor Joy Belmonte and Soto's son, Vice Mayor Gian Soto. In Pasig, Lacson and Soto will ride the Pasig River Ferry and will visit the Pasig City Mega Market later this afternoon for a town hall event with the voters. Casey, back to you.
Thanks a lot. Willard Chang there joining us. Take care, Willard, and you keep safe. Well, the campaign of presidential aspirant Ferdinand Marcos Jr. heads to ABRA. Our very own Joyce Balancho now joins us with that story. Joyce, go ahead.
Yes, Carmina, presidential aspirant Bongbong Marcos visited Banguet, ABRA province this Wednesday. It coincided with the annual celebration of the Kawayan Festival. Now, this morning, colorful floats paraded the streets of ABRA, followed by the motorcade of the UNI team. Only Marcos was present in today's activities in ABRA as his running mate, Mayor Sara Duterte, was not able to take her flight due to bad weather. After the motorcade, Marcos proceeded to the opening of the newly established headquarters of the UNI team in Rizal Street. In an ambush interview after that event, Marcos said he is overwhelmed with the support of the people in ABRA province who lined up the streets early this morning just to greet him. He said he hopes to do well again in ABRA. In 2016, a vice presidential race, Marcos won by landslide, garnering 89% of the total votes of the province. ABRA has the highest or second highest number of registered voters in the Cordillera Administrative Region for 2022 polls. It is also considered as one of the election hotspots in the country, given the history of violence during local elections in the past. In the campaign rally in ABRA Sports Complex, Marcos thanked the Abraenos for their warm welcome. In case he wins, Marcos said he plans to build more infrastructure projects in the province to boost the economy and create more jobs. Banguet Mayor Dominic Valera and his daughter, Abra Governor Maria Jocelyn Valera Bernos, both expressed support to the presidential bid of Marcos. In an interview, Mayor Valera said he is confident that Marcos will win again in the province, stating that ABRA is actually part of what they call here a solid north. He said he agrees that infrastructure projects are what the province needs right now. Now, meanwhile, after here in ABRA, Marcos flew immediately to Kalinga province for another set of activities in the afternoon. He is expected to have another motorcade and campaign rally in Kalinga province. Carmina?
Thanks a lot, Joyce. Take care. Keep safe. Well, he was once declared a nuisance candidate when he ran for president in the 2016 elections. And before that, he set his sights on a seat at the Senate twice and lost both times. Now Rizalito David is back and he's got a new goal to be vice president of the Philippines. Backed by his Catholic faith, David vows to face immorality head on. He says faith-based policies are key for the country to be on the path to greatness. Time and again, David has had his faith to prop him up, to fuel him even, to fulfill what he calls is his mission. But can he count on the Catholic faithful to be faithful to him and make him the nation's next VP? In focus today, Rizalito David, vice presidential candidate of the Democratic Party of the Philippines. Mr. David, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Isang mapagpalang araw sa iyo, ma'am, at sa ating mga nanonood.
Now, we just celebrated Women's Day yesterday, Mr. David. What do you think of women? Let's start off with that question.
Well, women are the true channels of life, no? And therefore they should be given all the rights and responsibilities to, in this case, run our country, govern our nation. Wala naman akong problema doon na kung ang magiging pangulo ng Pilipinas ay babae. In fact, sa mga tahanan naman, ang mga babae ang tunay na ilaw, ano? ng tahanan. Kaya yung aking paggalang sa kababaihan ay nandoon. At kung sila ang nararapat manguna at mamuno sa ating lipunan, so be it.
What positions do you think women should hold in government, Mr. David?
Well, kahit maging pangulo, no? Hindi naman problema talaga 'yon. Equally competent naman ang babae, no, sa kalalakihan. Wala namang pinag-iba yung gender pagdating diyan, ano? So kahit sa pagiging presidente, I think pwede naman.
Matagal na rin po kayong may eksperyensya sa ating gobyerno. You started off also at the Senate, being part of the staff of two former senators. Do you think things would be different now if more women had positions in government?
Perhaps yes. We should give them more positions in government. Let's see how they will do. Baka naman mas makakabuti sa ating bayan ng mga kababaihan ng mamuno. As I've said, wala namang pinag-iba yan, no? May mga kababaihan naman na talagang ang puso ay naroroon, ano, at ang lakas ng loob para mamuna sa maraming bagay. So hindi ko tinitignan na ano yan, na problema.
Now, let's get right into the issue of the Catholic vote. Mr. David, do you think there is one?
There is a negative Catholic vote. Negative Catholic vote, katulad ngayon na nangyayari na nakikita ng simbahan o ng mga kasapian ng simbahan Katolika na maraming nangyayari na ano, no, nakasinungalingan sa ating lipunan. Kumbaga yung tinatamasa ngayong suporta ni ano ni Ginang Robredo ay negative, product ng negative vote yun, eh, actually. Which turns out to be positive for her, no? Ganun ang aking pagtingin. There is a negative vote kung merong issue ng moralidad, no, na napakatindi na kailangan tumindig ang simbahan laban dito. Kaya naniniwala ako na merong Catholic vote.
Kayo na rin po ang nagsabi, she's gaining. The vice president is the recipient of this negative vote, which is a positive result for her.
Yes.
Why do you think, despite your pronouncements, despite how you frame your very own campaign, that this vote is, or this support is not going to you and your standard bearer, Dr. Jose Montemayor?
Well, for one, we started late, no? In fact, a lot of the Catholics do not know that I'm running. We abide by the rules of the Comelec that we should start campaigning only on February 8th. The others started way ahead. And of course, they are well-oiled, so to speak, no? Kaya madali yung kanilang kumbaga pangunguna dito sa mga sinasabi nating surveys, no? Yung sa akin naman, Ma'am Karina, hindi naman, ang panawagan naman ay hindi maging successful. Ang panawagan naman sa atin ay maging faithful. So I'm just being faithful to the mission that was given to me, no? A mission that is a result of my own discernment. Yun, no? Kaya,
which we're gonna get to later on. But first, I want to ask you this question, Mr. David. The CBCP framing the elections as a battle for truth, saying truth should be the foundation for many things. And an election or any process that is not based on truth is but a deception and cannot be trusted. Those words coming from Bishop Pablo Virgilio S. David. He is, of course, Bishop of Caloocan and President of CBCP. Let me ask you, Mr. David, what do the upcoming elections mean to you?
Well, as one priest said, this is a moral imperative, no? A moral imperative of our time. Kasi yung mga nangyari ng mga nagdaang panahon, no? Ng panahon ng kadiliman, ng martial law, ibinabalik dito sa atin yung kasaysayan na binabaliktad yung katotohanan, no? Kaya yung pagkasabi naman ng truth doon ay yung katotohanan ng nangyari sa kasaysayan na ngayon ay pinasisinungalingan ng ilang sektor ng lipunan upang bigyang kumbaga maging advantageous dun sa isang kandidato. Kaya yun lang naman, hindi naman to direct endorsement na sinasabi ng simbahan na paboran yung isang kandidato. So, kung hindi sabihin, sinasabi niya na ang sinasabi ng simbahan, tignan natin yung katotohanan. Yung katotohanan ang magpapalaya sa atin. Ang tunay naman talaga, no? Ang problema, yung katotohanan na yan ay pilit na ibinabaon, no? Pilit na ibinabaon sa konsensya ng maraming tao, no?
And yet some people seem to believe, Mr. David, that this shows that the church is meddling in the affairs of the state. And that includes at least one candidate who thinks that way.
Well, that is his opinion, but this is a moral matter now. So if the church speaks, no, against deception, against lies, no, dapat lang naman eh. Dapat lang naman. Hindi naman 'yun nag-i-intervene ang simbahan sa nangyayari sa ating politika. Mayroong malaking moral issue na involved. Kaya kailangan magsalita ng simbahan. Yun lang naman yun, no? Kung wala naman, hindi naman siya magsasalita, eh. Pero ito, moral imperative na nga, eh. Kaya kailangan magsalita ng simbahan kasama na yung mga mananampalataya ng simbahan.
Mr. David, let's backtrack a bit and get to know you even more. To what would you attribute your unwavering faith? Saan po ito nanggaling?
Sa pagkabata ko, Ma'am Carmina, dapat kasi noon magpapari ako. hindi lang natuloy kasi yung ang magpapaaral sa akin namatay 3 days before pumasok ako ng seminaryo. But even then, after that, naging choir ako, naging Knights of the Altar ako, no? Naging head ako ng Student Catholic Action nung high school, no? Hanggang nung umabot ng kolehiyo, yung kumbaga yung lahat ng nangyari sa buhay ko patungo dito eh. Yun yung aking pagtingin, ano? Yun yung aking discernment. And every time that I pray, I listen, no? I don't ask, I listen. And that is the signs that I'm getting, no? You just continue on. It's a mission that I've given to you. It doesn't matter if you win, if you succeed, but the important thing here is you are faithful to what you stand for and to what your discernment tells you.
And when did your faith reveal to you what you call is your mission? Because you were quoted to have said, and in fact, you touched on this a while ago. Mm-hmm. You said that if you are on a mission, you don't stop. There is a higher purpose that you have to achieve, so you keep on going, even if you lose in the elections. I have a dream for our country, and I'm fulfilling the teaching of my belief as a Catholic. What is this mission that you speak of, Mr. David?
The liberation of the Philippines from all these ills, no? Corruption, poverty, no? all sorts of problems that we're facing. Nag-umpisa naman yan nung bata pa ako. Eh, no? I almost died 1,000 times, Ma'am Carmina, when I was in college. I was more than just an activist. Nandoon kami yung nag-o-organize ng mga estudyante, ng mga magsasaka, mga manggagawa. Kaya lang, nung panahon na yon, hindi ko pa nakikita na ito ang, kumbaga, ipinataw sa akin ng Diyos na gawin kong mission. Ano? But there was already a mission. The difference now is, after a time, I realized that it is not just a mission that I gave to myself, but something that is divinely inspired. So that is the time that I really tried to understand my faith, no? Of being a Catholic. And I said to myself na, yun pala yun, no? Yun pala yun. Kaya pala hindi ako tumitigil. Because I could have been something else after college. I could have been rich by now. I could have been corrupt when I was in the Senate, no? I could have enriched myself. But why? Why did I stay this way? No? Na parating every time that temptation, nandoon yung temptation to be corrupt, merong humihinto eh. parang nasasabi mo sa sarili mo, no, mali ito, hindi natin dapat gawin ito. Kaya nga ako lumabas muna ng ano, ng pagsiservisyo sa gobyerno. Mm-hmm. Para makita ko yung ano, para makita ko yung mas malaking picture, kumbaga, no, kung ano yung nangyayari sa standpoint ng mga tao sa labas ng gobyerno. Kasi iba yung perspective mo pag nandun ka sa loob. Eh, no?
Yeah.
Ngayon, nung nasa labas na ako, doon ko na-realize, marami palang sabit, no? Maraming dapat gawin para sa ikabubuti ng bayan, na at hindi lang kailangan yung mga sinasabi ng mga politiko. No?
Yeah, but Mr. David, as you describe it now, how is this a faith-based mission and not a personal ambition? How do you differentiate between the two?
Hindi naman kasi personal na ambition. Kasi kung personal na ambition, iba sana yung naging path ng karir ko eh. Pero ang tinungo ko yung ano eh. Kamukha nito, for more than a decade, I've been with, ano, with the Pro-Life Philippines Foundation. I've been fighting yung mga relativistic tendencies ng gobyerno, no? So hindi ito personal na ambition. Parang it fell on my lap, no? You have something to do, ano, you have to do something about this, parang ganun, no? Yun ang ginagawa ko. Kung ano man yung kailangan gawin, yun lang ang ginagawa ko, no? Until such time siguro na maubos na yung aking energy, I grow old and weary, then I will stop, no? Let the next generation handle it. In fact, it should be the generation now, no? Na dapat nagagawa nito. Kaya lang, hindi nga naging ganun eh. So, nandito pa rin, sa edad namin, kami pa rin yung nagtutuloy, no? Hopefully, magkaroon ng pagbabago para yung mga mas batang mga mamamayan natin ang magpatuloy nitong ano na to, mission na ito.
Mr. David, if you win the vice presidency, will you use your position to further your faith and impose the same on the people?
I will not impose my faith on the people. What I'm saying is, we need to have a moral renewal and a cultural restoration process, no? Through programs that can be done by government. The churches alone cannot do it, no? We have to stop denying na andiyan the elephant in the room is there. The real problem is the absence of morality. Yan yung elephant in the room. We still up to this time denying the truth. The truth is there is absence of morality and we must restore it. And morality in this case is not only Christian-based. It's not only Catholic. Morality can also be from the perspective of the Muslims, from the perspective of Buddhists, or even morality from the perspective of atheists.
While we're on the topic,
none of all these things teaches ano, no? Teaches someone to be bad, di ba?
While we're on the topic, Mr. David, in a recent forum you said, ang corruption ay nagmumula sa takot. It can be rooted in fear and in fear na de-develop yung greed. Ang corruption yumayabong dahil wala tayong pag-ibig sa ating kapwa. Kaya ang sinasabi ko, ibalik natin ang gobyerno kay Kristo. You know, let me tell you this, Mr. David, not a few were left scratching their heads after hearing this. How can fear be the root cause of corruption? Doesn't it show that precisely the culprits don't have fear in them and this is why they engage in corrupt activities?
Kaya ko nasabi yun na galing sa takot. Kasi yung takot na maubusan. Yung takot na maubusan talaga. No? Kaya gusto mo mag-accumulate ng wealth eh. Guys, dahil may takot ka na maubusan na mawalan ng iyong sarili, mawalan yung iyong pamilya. No? Kaya doon nag-uugat yun eh. Kaya nagiging greedy ka eh. Dahil natatakot kang maubusan. Nakikita mo yung ibang tao na gumagawa ng corruption, gumagawa ng pag-accumulate ng wealth na yan, eh baka ikaw maubusan, kaya magiging greedy ka na rin, magiging corrupt ka na rin. No? Yun lang naman ang pamamaraan kung nandoon ka sa gobyerno. Ano ba ang gagawin mo para yumaman? Hindi ba dapat maging corrupt ka para ka yumaman kung nasa gobyerno ka? Yun lang naman yun. No? Kaya nga, yung sinasabi kong ibalik ang gobyerno kay Kristo, that would somehow temper the greed, no? And of course, somehow stop the fear, no? of not getting enough, parang ganon, for yourself and for your family.
Hmm. How do you then communicate this idea, Mr. David, to the rest of the archipelago? Because we may be a predominantly Catholic country, but the whole archipelago is not. We're just predominantly Catholic. So how do you then, you know, further this, spread this idea of yours to the rest of the archipelago?
Well, I intend to ask whoever the president would be, hopefully it's going to be Dr. Montemayor, to create a commission for moral renewal and cultural restoration. Doon natin ilalagay yung mga programs na yan, ano? It would permeate, no, every instrumentality of government and even the private sector. We will encourage everyone to have their own programs to restore what is good in us, no? To restore what is good in us. No imposition of some sort that is parang Christian-based lang ito o Catholic-based lang itong program na ito. Yung pagbabalik ng kabutihan, no, pagpapanibago ng sarili, hindi naman yan business ng isang relihiyon. Eh. Business yan ng lahat ng sangkatauhan. No? Mm-hmm.
But how do you expect your standard bearer to do just that? I mean, you said it yourself just a few minutes ago that the truth should be the basis of everything. You agreed with what the CBCB said when I mentioned a while ago that the truth should be the foundation for many things. But here you have a standard bearer who believes in fake information and disseminates the same. So how can you expect your standard bearer to pursue this agenda of yours?
Well, I can always talk to him about it. Minsan kasi si Dr. Montemayor, he gets so excited. You have to forgive him for that. No? I saw the last episode. He gets so excited that meron siya mga nasasabi na posibleng hindi naman talaga, kumbaga, nanggagaling sa puso niya. No? May mga pagkakatanong na gano'n, Carmina eh. So people have to forgive him for that. Ano? But we always talk about it. Siguro nabigla lang siya noon. No? Eh, hindi naman siya gano'ng kasanay sa politika, no? Katulad ng mga ginagawa natin. Kaya siguro he thought that he was saying the right things. No? Yun.
And yet here he is aspiring for the top post of the land.
Yeah, I believe he is competent, more than competent enough to handle the posts. There are certain things, no, yung mga intricacies ng position, intricacies ng certain certain issues na kailangan niya pang mapag-aralan. No, yun naman ang itinutulong ko sa kanya. As I sinabi ko nga sa kanya, my role is to support you, no? To support you. Hindi naman ako pwedeng mag-project on my own. No? It would be stupid for me na I'm running for vice president and projecting myself away from my presidential standard bearer. No?
Yeah.
So we always discuss these things.
I have to ask you, Dr. David, are you anything like your standard bearer?
Well, we have yung faith namin malakas. Yun yung kagandahan nun. Si Dr. Montemayor is a evangelist, no? Malakas yung kanyang malakas yung pananiwala niya sa Panginoong Jesucristo, no? Magkaiba nga lang yung aming method nung paano namin ginagawa. Pero palagay ko mas importante nga yun na nakikita ko naman sa puso niya yung kanyang nais na kabutihan na ma-impart sa ating mamamayan.
Mr. David, 6 years ago, you were expelled by the Ang Kapatiran Party when you filed your COC for president, going against the party's stand to participate in the elections. How does that incident not show the kind of man you are, one who will set aside party principles to give way to personal ambition, Mr. David?
At the risk of opening up old wounds, Ma'am Carina, yung information nyo na nakuha is not exactly true.
So tell us the truth.
I was drafted by the general membership of the party to run for president together with our secretary general for vice president. Now, we were allowed to file our COC. My COC was signed by the secretary general. And then, on the same afternoon that we filed our COC, no, pumunta yung presidente ng partido sa COMELEC, may dala-dalang sulat na walang official candidate ang Kapatiran Party because ang Kapatiran Party will adopt a boycott position.
Exactly.
Sa election. No?
That's
but that
exactly.
was never discussed. That was never, the boycott position was never discussed. What was discussed and we were given permission was to file our COCs. Now, going back before that, no? Hindi ko alam na gusto niya pala na dalhin ang partido para suportahan si Grace Po.
Mm-hmm.
Eh di ba ako yung nag-file ng co-warranto case against Grace Po. So galit na galit siya sa akin doon.
Mm-hmm.
Bakit ko daw final yon na hindi siya hindi ako nagsasabi sa partido. Sabi ko personal ko yun eh. Hindi naman kailang lahat ng gagawin ko kasama ang partido, no?
Mm-hmm.
Yun yung nangyari doon, no? So sinasabi niya na ano, yung sinasabi niya na against party principles. That was totally wrong, no?
Where do your loyalties to the party or to any organization that you belong to end? And where does your loyalty to your country and to your beliefs begin?
When my party goes against the dictates of the faith, then I will have to cease from working with that party. Kasi mas importante sa akin yung ano ko eh, pananampalataya ko kaysa doon sa exigencies ng ano eh, ng party politics na yan eh. Iiwanan ko talaga. Pero yung nangyari noon, Ma'am Carmina, talagang maling-mali yung pagkakabigay ng story. In fact, isinulat yan ng isang dyaryo na hindi man lang ako kinausap kung ano yung side ko, ano ba yung talagang nangyari. Alam mo yung aming ano, yung aming spiritual advisor talaga no, na si Father Polinar, namatay na lang yan masama ang loob eh, dahil sa ginawa ng party president. Ayoko sanang pag-usapan ito, pero ito yung katotohanan eh. Yan yung nangyari noon.
All right, we're going to take a break now, Mr. David. When we come back, Rizalito David's vision for the nation. You're watching In Focus on Dateline Philippines, only here on ANC. We are back, still with us, the Vice Presidential Candidate of the Democratic Party of the Philippines, Rizalito David. Mr. David, in 2016, you eyed the presidency until you got disqualified. And now we're here talking to you as a Vice Presidential Candidate in the 2022 elections. What brought about the decision to play second fiddle to Dr. Jose Montemayor?
As I've said earlier, Ma'am Carmina, it fell on my lap. When I decided, it was on the eve of the deadline, I received a call. Parang thinking ko minsan, it was a divinely inspired thing for them to even ask me to join the party and to run for vice president. So I just accepted it. No? Pero wala talaga na akong plano na tumakbo for vice president noon. Ganun ang nangyari. No? Kumbaga, bumagsak na lang sa ano, gabing-gabi pa yun eh, nung tinawagan nila ako. Ikaw na yung dinadraft namin to be the vice presidential candidate.
So, but before that phone call, magkakilala na ho kayo ni Dr. Montemayor?
No. We were not. Ang kakilala ko yung Secretary General ng Partido.
Hmm.
Tsaka yung chairman, no? Pero ang tumawag sa akin yung presidente. No? So sabi, we're drafting you na as our vice presidential candidate. Kasi nag-give up na ako na ayoko na eh.
Uh-huh.
Sana, no? Pero dahil dumating yun, tinanggap ko na lang yung responsibilidad. Parang tuloy-tuloy lang eh, di ba? Parang ayoko na pero dumating pa rin yung ano eh. Parang ayan pa rin, nandiyan pa rin yung pagkakataon na ituloy mo yung dapat mong gawin. So tinanggap ko.
And now that you're slowly getting to know your standard bearer, is there a part of you that thinks that maybe you should have done your due diligence before saying yes?
Wala naman akong problema kay Dr. Montemayor. I support him. I'm committed to support him. If there are certain pitfalls that we see along the way, hindi naman to insurmountable, no? Hindi naman to na dapat gi-give up ka na lang dahil meron ka nakitang counting mali, yung mga ganun, no? Eh, ganun talaga eh. Kahit naman ako, marami din akong pagkakamali. Pero in-expect ko din naman yung aking kapartner na katandem na hindi ako i-give up, no? Diba? Parang ganun lang naman yan.
If you win the vice presidency, Mr. David, how will you make the office of the vice president your own?
As I said, I would like to run an office that would specifically handle moral renewal and cultural restoration. I would like to do it that way. Ibang-iba yon, no? Dun sa mga ano. And if I do that, that would be the banner program of the government, I suppose, because I will be the one handling it as vice president. So that would give all and sundry the message that it is an important, essential part of governance. So I'm going to do it that way.
Let's talk about current events now, Mr. David. Stories coming out of the war zone. One of them, a Russian military strike hitting a civilian evacuation crossing point outside of Kyiv. And reports have it that 8 people, including 2 children, were killed as they tried to flee their homes. What is your stand on the Russian invasion of Ukraine?
We have to condemn the war, but neither of the party. In fact, we should even encourage them to cease the hostilities and sit down and discuss matters, no? Between the two of them. Ang dapat dyan hindi makialam kahit sino doon sa kanilang pag-uusap. Yun naman ang dapat natin gawin. Yun ang dapat natin i-advocate. While we condemn the war, we're not condemning Russia. We're not condemning Ukraine. What we're saying is they should sit together, cease hostilities, sit together and discuss. Yun naman yung pinakamagandang dapat gawin doon. No? Hmm. If we condemn Russia, do you think Russia will stop? Russia will not stop, even if the whole world will condemn Russia.
But don't you think that if you condemn Russia, then it's also condemning all those who have plans of invading other territories just because they can?
Iba yung history nung away ng Russia at yung Ukraine na yan. Eh. Hindi naman yan simple. No? Parang ang pagtingin ko dyan katulad din ng paano tinitignan ng China ang Pilipinas. No? Okay? You want me to continue on that?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Ang pagtingin ng China sa Pilipinas, tayo yung first line of defense ng Amerika. Kaya sila nagpuesto ng mga kung ano-ano dyan sa South China Sea. Eh. Ganon din naman ang posisyon ng Russia pagdating sa Ukraine. Nagkagulo lang naman ng gusto yan. Although matagal na may nangyayaring dyan, sigalot, pero nagkagulo lang ng gusto dyan nung pilit na nais ng Ukraine na mag-join ng NATO. Diba? Mm-hmm. So kung naging part ng NATO ang Ukraine, then yun na yung magiging first line of defense ng West against Russia. Okay? So malalim yung pinag-uugatan ng away na yan. No? Kaya sinasabi ko na hindi dapat natin i-condemn ang Russia dyan. Meron siyang karapatan dun sa ginagawa niya. At the same time, ang Ukraine, meron din siyang karapatan dun sa ginagawa niya.
Pero so, yung sinasabi po ng standard bearer ninyo na huwag tayong makialam dyan kasi malayo naman yan sa atin.
Hindi naman tayo makikialam talaga, kundi nag-a-advocate lang tayo na magkaroon ng kapayapaan doon. Ang sinasabi niya, ipagdasal natin. No? But more than that, we should advocate that they cease hostilities, no? And then sit down together and discuss the matters by themselves. Hindi tayo makikialam na makikisalo tayo doon sa... Yeah. Doon sa posisyon ng Amerika o ng EU tungkol dyan, no? Yun lang naman ang dapat, no?
All right. Mr. David, this is happening, of course, in the middle of a pandemic. What can cushion the effects of the crisis in Ukraine on the country's economy that's still reeling from the COVID crisis?
I made several calls to the president publicly to convene Congress to a special session. I did that prior to the escalation of the hostilities. No? Bago pa pumasok ang Russia sa Ukraine, sinabi ko na yan kasi na-foresee ko na nga yung possibility na magkagulo at magkakaroon ng pagtaas ng presyo ng petrolyo. At the same time, yung consumer goods. No? Well, it's only now that the president is mulling over calling Congress to a special session.
But what to you is the fastest way to cushion the impacts or even the impact or even prevent the situation from getting any worse? Is it, taking out or suspending the excise tax on fuel, subsidy?
I made that pronouncement already, Ma'am Carmina. I made that pronouncement already 3 weeks ago. Hmm. Suspend muna yung excise taxes kung pwedeng kahit kalahati ng value-added tax ay tanggalin na rin. That would at least lessen yung burden naman dun sa consumers saka dun sa mga transport operators. Ang problema kasi, tinitingnan nila masyadong, ang pagtingin kasi natin, minsan yung mga ekonomista iba tumingin . Kung ako ang presidente, gagawin ko kagad yun. No? Gagawin ko kagad. I just have to bite the bullet. No? These are judgment calls that you have to do, no? If you're the leader. Kasi pagka yung kausap mo kung sino-sino, yung mahihinto ka na lang doon sa tracks mo na dapat mong gawin .
Okay.
Sabi ni Grinto, ganyan. Sabi ni Grinto, ganyan. Hindi, ako na.
Uh-oh.
I have all the data and I can make the decisions. This is a judgment call. Okay? And I will have to do the decision now.
You know, Mr. David, some people may be watching us right now and they may be thinking that you're actually making more sense than your standard bearer. Why didn't you push for you to be the standard bearer instead of the other way around?
Yun ang ibinigay sa akin na opportunity, Ma'am Carmina. Ay, hindi ko gagawin yun. Binigay sa akin yung opportunity. Yun lang ang binigay sa akin na opportunity. Tapos gagawin ko na, piliting ko na ako ang maging presidential candidate. That's when yun nga yung sinasabi mo na personal ambition ba yan o mission-based. No? Mission ako Yung mission ko ang mas importante kasi dun sa sa ambition ko. In fact, wala na nga akong ambition
By the way, Mr. David, we were talking about the pandemic a while ago. You had concerns about the mRNA vaccines, right? That its long-term effects are still unknown, which led some people to believe that you are an anti-vaxxer. Are you?
I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm against mandatory vaccination. And I'm against the use of the mRNA vaccines. Kasi, hanggang ngayon, EUA pa rin yan. Million-million na yung sinaksakan natin ng bakuna. Hanggang ngayon, hindi natin nilelisensyahan. Very basic, di ba? So, experimental pa rin siya. So, we do not know the long-term effects. But,
all right. Sorry to cut you there, Mr. David. We're running out of time and we still have a host of questions to ask you. Let's talk about your plans for the country, your thoughts involved on issues involving the country. Before you now are six images, six topics, you get to decide which topic you want to discuss first. And your first choice is?
Marcos.
All right. As you know, he is not just a candidate. He is also a campaign issue. What do you think must be done to put this issue to rest, if at all it should be put to rest?
The Marcoses must be defeated once and for all. Must be defeated now. Kaya nga, ang aking gustong gawin, pag-usapin ulit yung mga kandidato. Let it be a one-on-one. No? At this point, let it be a one-on-one contest. And we can defeat Marcos. by putting together all the efforts and energies of the rest of the other candidates. That is the only way to defeat him.
Next topic, Mr. David, what do you want to discuss next?
Education.
What ails the education system and what can be done to cure it?
We have to determine ano ba talaga yung orientation na gusto natin. Saan natin gustong dali ng bayan, no? Yung education natin, eh, hilo. Ang masasabi ko. Ngayon, kung gusto natin ng isang kinabukasan na industrialized or post-industrialized society right away, we have to orient our education towards that. Hindi malinaw sa akin, pagpasa hanggang ngayon, saan natin gustong dalhin yung ating bayan, eh. So ang education, yan yung vehicle, eh, para magawa natin itong mga bagay na ito. Pero hanggat hindi natin na-determine kung saan natin gustong pumunta, hilo parati yung educational system natin.
And if you were to be followed, which direction should it take?
I want to see an industrialized country once and for all. Para yung matamasa naman ng ating mga mamamayan, katulad ng tinatamasa ng mga European countries, no? Ng Japan, ng China, no? ng ibang bansa. Gusto kong matamasa natin yon. And hindi naman natin magagawa yun kung hindi tayo industrialized.
Next topic. Sorry to cut you there. Next topic. Next topic.
Foreign policy.
All right. We all know that President Duterte's independent foreign policy was welcomed in the beginning until it turned out to be more of a pivot to China. What do you think? What should the foreign policy of the Philippines be like or look like?
Well, it should remain independent, but dignified. We keep on saying independent foreign policy, pero ang the way we handle our foreign policy is much like a cash register diplomacy. Mm. Diba? That's why we do not get the respect that we deserve. Because our leaders would always deal with other countries on the basis of what can I get from you? That's always the ano. That is not being independent. That is, in fact, an undignified ano approach to foreign policy.
Next topic, Mr.
A dignified foreign policy.
Next topic.
Ano pa ba? Climate change.
All right. Will you end the country's dependence on fossil fuels and coal-based plants and push for renewable sources of energy?
Certainly. Certainly, I will do that, but it must be calibrated, phase in, phase out. No, hindi naman natin pwede sabihin na right away we go renewable. No?
And what about the president's? What about the president's latest directive to tap nuclear energy and put it into the mix? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm also for nuclear energy, but it has to be the fusion type. Not the fission type, no? Until such time that the technology for fusion type nuclear energies developed, I would not push for a fission type nuclear energy technology.
You have two last remaining topics. You've got the pandemic and crime and corruption. Which one do you want to tackle first?
Pandemic.
By the time President Duterte leaves office, Mr. David, Philippine debt will be at over 13 billion, make that 13 trillion pesos. Do you think the funds borrowed for pandemic response were used wisely? And how will you repay the debt while assuring economic recovery will be swift post the pandemic?
Well, firstly, I will have to look at how it was spent. No? Pero ang feeling ko talaga it was not spent prudently. We kept on saying na ito yung dapat gawin. So we bought all sorts of katulad nitong mga vaccines na to, no? Meron namang gabot na mas mura. May mga prophylaxis na pwedeng gamitin, no? So paano natin babayaran yan, how to treat that debt, no? Again, I will have to talk to our debtors, try to restructure all these things, no? Para naman hindi tayo masyadong mahirapan sa pagbabayad.
All right. Crime and corruption, Mr. Davides, your final topic. These are not separate and distinct. In the Philippines, corruption has become a tool to protect the criminals both in and out of government. How do you break the ties that bind the two?
Well, the certainty of getting caught and prosecuted, that is the more important thing. You will stop corruption that way, together with a change in the heart of people. Yung pagbabago ng lipunan ay mangyayari lamang sa pagpapanibago ng puso ng bawat isa. No? Plus, kung doon sa legal na pamamaraan naman, sisiguraduhin natin mahuhuli at maprosecute yung mga corrupt people na yan. Ano? Umpisahan natin yan immediately doon sa kung paano pinatakbo yung management ng pandemya. Kailangan mayroong managot. Kailangan may managot dyan sa bagay na yan. At yan ang gagawin natin example.
Mr. David, we've reached the end of the interview, but before we let you go, some rapid-fire questions, quick answers, first thing that comes to mind. And here we go. A last book you read.
The Physics of Immortality.
Last text message you sent or a phone call you made?
I love you.
To whom?
To the one I love.
What's your playlist like?
Medyo ano, parang ang tawag dito. Sino na nga ito? Brazil. The guy in the Brazil 77, 66, etc. Si...
Interesting. Are you a morning person or a night owl?
Night owl.
Last show you streamed, binge-watched?
Nakalimutan ko na. Sorry.
Perhaps wala na kayong panahon manood. Which endorsement would you prefer? An endorsement coming from Kibuloy or one that comes from Velarde?
I'm not seeking any endorsement from both of them.
All right. Who was the better role model for you, or who was the better boss for you? Was it Senator Jaworski or Senator Tatat?
Alam mo, pareho lang. Pareho lang. Kasi I learned a lot from Senator Tatat. No? And I was allowed by Senator Jaworski to help him out. No? Maiki. So pretty much the same.
Which measure would you push for if it will give you an assurance of winning the vice presidency? Is it same-sex marriage or abortion, legalizing abortion?
Neither. I will not support any of these issues. In fact, I will always say that I am a Catholic and a faithful one, and I will not support any of these things.
If Jose Montemayor is not your running mate, who would it be and why?
Alam mo, hindi ko napag-isipan yun. Hindi ko napag-isipan talaga kung sino sa kanila. As I've said,
hindi nyo napag-isipan, pero ngayon nag-iisip na ho ba kayo?
Hindi. I'm staying with Jose Montemayor until such time na magkaroon ng arrangement na tipong maging isa na lang ang kandidato ng oposisyon talaga. No?
Is that something that you think will happen?
Well, I would have to appeal to their compassionate hearts. That the only way to defeat Marcos and Sara Duterte is to be together and have a one-on-one thing by May 9.
Who do you think is your closest rival in the VP race?
Senator Soto.
What is your preferred cabinet post?
Well, the Commission on Moral Renewal and Cultural Restoration.
What will you do if Senator Grace Poe in the future decides to run for president and invites you to be her vice presidential bet or be part of her Senate slate?
I want a resolution first of the constitutional issue on whether she is a natural-born Filipino citizen or not.
Who is the best president we never had?
For me, Tatan.
Mr. David, you just found out you won the elections. What's the first thing that comes to mind?
I will go to my mother's grave, and I will thank her for helping me.
Rizalita David, presidential candidate of the vice presidential candidate of the Democratic Party of the Philippines. Thank you for joining us today. You take care and you keep safe.
Mabuhay po kayo and God bless. Maraming salamat.
Appreciate you coming to the show. And next on In Focus, we'll get to know more about Vice Presidential Candidate Manny Lopez of the Workers and Peasants Party. Mr. Lopez will speak with us next Tuesday, that's March 15th. If you have any questions, send them in to ANC Alerts on Twitter or ANC247 on Facebook. Use the hashtag ANC In Focus. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the news channel.